This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of Three and Out for good reason. They're all over East Tennessee. Walk into one of over 30 branches or check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Tell them you heard about them right here on Three and Out and Fan Run Radio. They'll take great care of you. I can assure you of that. I'm a member. Houston's a member. I use them for all kind of stuff. Business banking, personal banking. We refied our mortgage with them a while back when the rates were just dirt cheap. It's the best decision we made in that department. And they'll walk you straight through it. Get done quickly as well compared to other lenders at the moment. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Okay, let's back up just a little bit. John Curry had a breakfast with Jimmy Haslam. When they knew they were going to need a new football coach.
Mm. Is that what it was?
And Haslam mentioned the name Greg Schiano.
Just in passing, I think, right?
Haslam's story is like, yeah, we were just kind of chatting. For whatever reason, I don't know if John Curry thought that Haslam was like giving him the wink-wink, like, hey, that's the guy I want, or if it was just him mentioning that name made John Curry kind of like, you know, that wouldn't be... You know, maybe that would be a kind of a outside the box, but strong, sturdy, high. I mean, I don't even know how you justify that, but you know what I'm saying. Somehow he got to that point. And then once John Curry tried to hire Greg Schiano, fan base flipped out, deservedly so. There was this coup.
Mm-hmm.
Curry out, Davenport out. Haslam had already bought the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
The new regime rolls in, led by Philip Fulmer, who's always been known as a, you know, staying ahead of the game, trendy, you know, knowing what the cool kids are doing.
Picking up on your sarcasm there.
He was before the turn of the century.
And maybe, not really. Oh, I mean, that's beside the point. I was just trying to throw a jab in there. I mean, Jimmy Haslam's guys are, he's kind of like, you want some of this pilot money for good football players, for Danny White, for, you know, like, sorry. You guys said that I didn't have this thing going in the right direction. You cooed my guy, my AD.
So is that what it is? They're just mad at the fan base as a whole?
And I mean, I don't think Jimmy Haslam would, like, literally, like, put down the ultimatum, like, I'm not giving you guys a red cent because of what happened. I think it might be more of a gradual thing where it's like, I got more issues to deal with the Browns.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, here's your normal check you get, but you come begging me for more NIL deal. Like, I've given all I can give for Tennessee football. Like,
yeah.
And I'll continue to give what I give, but don't ask me for more. Like, mm-hmm. I don't.
Because you're supposed to give your all.
I feel like Danny... My big fear is that Danny White's great at taking the last dollar from, you know, regular Joe Tennessee fan in Maynardville and his, you know, 1,500 square foot, you know, just nice country little home who enjoys the orange and white game, comes to town for a few games and sits in the South Upper, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the tickets he just buys from the ticket office or scalps or whatever. Like, Danny White's great at getting the last dollar from that guy. But... like those dollars don't land number one recruiting classes where allegedly $20 million are spent. You know, like that. I mean, come on, like you got to play with the big boys. I think there could be a combination.
Like, did we just pass by?
There could be a combination of the previous chaos kind of souring some of the bigger boosters. The fact that this regime hasn't really won anything yet, having some big boosters who are excited about this past season but are in wait-and-see mode.
I mean, I'm with you, but, I mean, God, Sarkisian, it's not like he won anything this year. Jimbo Fisher ain't won nothing. I mean, beat Alabama. They went 8-4.
It's Texas, though. Like, they're okay. Looking at it as, I mean, they fired a coach with a team in the top 25.
Mm-hmm.
They hired this guy, and they're still in the if we build it, they will come stage. Tennessee's in the we've tried to build it three times, and you guys keep blowing it. I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see how you guys do first. And it's a chicken and egg catch 22 problem, because Danny White and Josh Heupel can't have a great football team until some boosters pay some money to get them some great players. But the people that pay the money want to see if they're at least going to be good before they put that money back into the program, because they feel like it was wasted over the last X amount of years.
I mean, I what's the answer? I mean, is that – because, I mean, we've said it for a long time. Like, the collective Tennessee fan base is one of the things that makes this place so unique and so special, right? The passion, the loyalty – Is the crowdsourcing idea from Spire, like, is that the way to go? Or I just feel like most common fans are going to see that and think, I'm not going to give, whatever, $1,951 a year. I'm going to let somebody else do that. I'm going to be a diehard. I'm going to go to the games. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to cheer the team on. But, I mean, I'm not going to actually donate $2,000 a year. But if everyone kind of says that, that's why you need those big money boosters to step up.
Well, here's another crazy thought that just popped into my head. It may make no sense, but you're asking for those donations separate from asking for season ticket donations.
Right.
Is having a bigger stadium now a big detriment to getting NIL dollars? If your stadium is 65,000, super nice, and it's sold out every week, like, and you can't even get a season ticket, but your team's awesome, wouldn't you be more likely to maybe just donate and go to some of these player events and other stuff and then get tickets where you can?
I don't view it as a detriment. You just have to make sure you're setting the price at the proper amount. I mean, like, A&M, they hold more than we do. And
right.
It's not impacting them one
well,
bit.
Well, I've always had a problem with that. Like, if you're not selling out your season tickets, why do we keep raising prices?
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
But you got to get the math right on all that stuff.
Oh, no.
It's very tricky, right?
I completely understand. And you'd hate to sell yourself short one year, but I'd rather sell myself short one year, have a full stadium, than lock people out. And then the biggest game rolls around. You're kind of a surprise team. You're pretty good. No one really expected it. And you got, 70,000 people in there.
Mm-hmm. Like,
LDI mom said, why are we reporting this if it's not even true?
Reporting what?
I didn't report anything. I asked, why is Tennessee getting blitzed in the NIL game?
Huh. See Walter Nolan, who moved here. By all accounts, we had the inside track. We led. And Texas A&M, who is it's been reported and it's a fact, has been the leader, tip of the spear on the whole NIL thing, they get him. So on some sites, the number one player in the country, right? At certain times, at least.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean,
from your backyard.
First of all,
I know he transferred here, but
first
still.
Of all, we're doing a show. Like, this isn't reporting. This isn't like.
I literally just asked two questions.
But secondly,
why am I reporting this?
I'm sure that's not a listener. It's just a Twitter person.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Maybe she is listening. I don't know. If you are, please call in.
Yeah,
I'd love to know what exactly we're reporting. I mean, what we are reporting is that Tennessee's been in the running with several really high-level prospects that have gone elsewhere, and it seems to be the places that are really dropping the bag.
Okay, well, all right. How about this? VolQuest has reported that Texas paid more for Isaiah Neyor than anybody else, and they got him. So there you go. There's facts right there. They paid more than Tennessee. Balquist also reported that Tennessee had an NIL plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we just don't even know he exists.
Did we get a chance to like match or go above?
I don't know. We got beat. Well, I mean, they're saying that Texas paid more
than anybody.
Yeah, he
wanted to go back home too. Yeah, and he was able to go back. I mean, like let's say like money was no object.
Oh no, yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure I got it in. Like he's from Texas, so
yeah.
I mean, let's say you couldn't have NIL. Like Texas was probably still going to have. It was just I think it was because he committed. And the numbers our offense put up, and, you know, we lost Velus, and it's like, that's a pretty good fit for a guy like you to come in and kind of kill it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, he commits, then decommits, signs with Texas, like, and now you're scratching your you-know-what.
If all things were equal outside of, like, you can keep the performance on the field the same, but everything else was level playing field, like, he's choosing Texas.
In his case, yeah. But I guess that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
though.
I'm specifically looking at just Nayor's
right. Well,
situation.
But that's the problem that I have, especially lately. Like we've lost a lot of good players locally because they don't have.
But
the
we
love.
Get Walter Nolan if there's no NIL deals.
Probably. But we lost T. Higgins. We lost Amari Rodgers. We lost Randall mm-hmm. Cobb. Like it's like we can't win either way. Uh oh,
what
she is. She's lost all respect for the show and reporting.
For your Twitter account.
Because I'm implying a lot.
Oh.
It only hurts the program.
Here it is. Negative reporting hurts the – you know what hurts the program? Losing. Whether it be in recruiting or on the field or in the front office. Like, I love how saying you lost – this is like saying you lost the game is worse than losing the game. That's literally what these people are saying with these arguments. Like, it's like Tennessee loses to Florida, 41-21. God, how dare you say that? That hurts the program to announce that Tennessee lost to Florida.
Yeah, right.
How dare you
Tennessee's
put that
lost,
on the new, in the front of the newspaper?
Tennessee's lost 13 straight to Alabama.
Dude, don't
you're
let it.
Don't tell
don't,
people.
Don't
you're
let everybody
the program.
Know. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to get enough. Fight with her about that. We're having a conversation about recruiting, and I'm not saying it's all NIL. We've talked about it, right? We got the NCAA stuff. We've got a leadership change, but I'm not implying anything when I say Porsche and J.P. Morgan at Kentucky, cookies and milk at Tennessee. It's two different things.
Yeah, but they're really good cookies.
They are really good. You've had them?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're bomb. And that's the best milk in the world.
Yeah, as Jared on Twitter says, what are we trying to do out here, recruit Santa Claus?
I mean, I don't want to go through the list and, like, bag on the companies, but, I mean, if you look at what the deals are, there's, you know. I mean, Cade Mays said it. He said it on a radio show. He said, hey, you know, if I can get an NIL deal to supplement the money I would make in a fourth or fifth round draft class, you know, I'd like to come back to Tennessee. It was like 3 days later he was gone. Like it's like nobody stepped up. Like his phone didn't even ring. That's a five-star starter who wanted to play with his brother in his home. Like we had the hometown guy and nobody ponied up. Mm. So what do you? I'm not implying anything. That's reality. That's real. And we got to figure it out. Like I think the money's there, right? Like I mean, we built all those buildings and
it's been there before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Where is it now?
Where is it now? Who? Like, who do you go after? And I mean, mentioned Peyton a couple times before, and Davey made a really good point, and I don't know what the legality is. Like, so I know the NFL is very specific about if you're doing this, you can't do that. Like, the Kroenke with his wife owning the other teams because they don't want an NFL owner to own a major league team or an NHL team. Maybe if Peyton's in negotiations with the Broncos, he can't be doing anything to help the University of Tennessee – because that becomes I don't know meddling or whatever, but I mean you got Tom Brady sponsoring the quarterback at Michigan. He's sponsoring a couple other players all over the place. Peyton, like, can we start like a P. Manning shirt? I mean, have you seen Brady's new clothing line? It just says Brady on the front of the shirt. That's it. Like that's the whole NIL deal. Here's a $75 shirt that says Brady on it.
Yeah,
and then and he's I'm sure you did. But he's getting these kids paid. I mean, you could say, oh, Tennessee's doing great. Jackson State has four top 100 players. Tennessee has, I'm pretty sure, zero.
How far back do we have to go in Tennessee's recruiting classes to add up four top 100 players?
Oh, I don't know.
Good question.
Maybe back to Butch. You think have we had four top 100? Probably had
in the same class or cumulatively?
Yeah, cumulatively. I'd say you go back.
Darnell Wright and weren't those five star guys? I mean,
yeah,
they're five star. They're top 100. So
five stars top what, 30 or 40?
Usually, yeah, because it's thought to be like first round draft picks.
I'll Google it. It's worth a Google.
All right, we'll come back with more Hour 2 next. Hour 2 continues. Talk recruiting, transfer portal, all that jazz. Tennessee lost a receiver yesterday. And all of a sudden they're, you know, scrambling again. It's just frustrating. I mean,
the sky's not falling. I mean, you can fix this. It's just, it's unfortunate and frustrating that Tennessee wasn't out in front of it a little
bit.
What
do we do if the NCAA doesn't tell us anything by next recruiting class? Do we say, all right, going back to 85? Wait,
you do.
And let me ask this question. Wasn't this offseason the one time you could take up to seven transfer students that don't count against a recruiting class at all?
Yes.
Well, if we cap our scholarships down and can't take those seven, which we can't, that's what we did, isn't that the dumbest time ever to penalize yourself total scholarships when you get seven free ones?
Yeah.
I mean.
So we should have been at 32, right? 25 in the class.
And seven
plus
transfers.
Seven. And we brought that down to 20, 21. We're at 20 now. And a couple transfers here and there. You'd think you could take the seven transfers, and I don't know.
But those count on the 85. They just don't count on the 25. See, transfers always count against your 25 every year. You can count them in either class, front or back, I guess. But you got seven free ones that wouldn't count against your 25 to help teams that were getting gutted when they had a coaching change and all the players would leave in the transfer portal, the one-time transfers. But because we self-imposed our total scholarship numbers, we now can't get those free spots. And next year, those free spots go away.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somehow we like appeal to the NCAA and are allowed to use the seven next year and back count to this year as like freebies.
Or they change it to where you can take as many as you want up to 85. And maybe that's what they're banking on. Maybe they're saying, look, they're going to change that so that teams – because there's
– But I don't want to hear Josh Heupel complaining about only having 70 scholarship players.
That's not his
next
decision,
year,
though, bro.
Unless he's like, yeah, it's Danny White's fault. Like, don't blame someone else.
Heupel has nothing to do with that.
Like, I understand.
He can complain about not having
enough
guys.
But when he
said
we only have 67 guys, we all blame Jeremy Pruitt, right? Rightfully so. Like,
yeah,
we all
yeah.
blamed not only Jeremy Pruitt sucking at football, but then cheating. I mean, that's why guys are gone.
Sure.
For both those
sure.
reasons. Those yeah. are the two main reasons.
But if guys are leaving and we can't replace them, like, Heupel doesn't get a say-so. Like, they're going to come to him and say, here's what we've talked to the NCAA about. Here's what we've decided to do. We know it stinks. You're not going to be judged.
I just don't want him to say it like it's someone else's fault.
And
like
maybe he won't. I mean, it's still going to be the reality.
I mean, it's
like
Danny White's fault for saying, we are going to cooperate with the NCAA, and we're going to go ahead and punish ourselves.
Don't forget that he walked into that too.
Well, that's what I wanted to kind of get into.
Danny White inherited that issue too. And if Chancellor Plowman and Randy Boyd say, "Hey, here's what we've decided," he can try to negotiate that. But at the end of the day,
I think they asked him in the interview, and Danny White was the best guy that would take the job saying, "Yep, I'm on board. I'll roll the integrity route. I can pull that off."
And I'm okay with that, because we all knew this wasn't going to be a problem that was fixed, like with a snap of a finger, and everything's fine, and there's no punishment whatsoever. Now, we'll see if this is enough. Or, I mean, it's possible that they could tell that to the NCAA. The NCAA says, hey, after reviewing, you know, we're going to give you five of those spots back, right? This is, you guys actually went above and beyond. It's never happened before, you know.
They're not going to go to 90, though, in the future.
No. They're not going to go. Well, no one goes to 90.
I mean, let's say they went from 85 to 70. I would rather our guys have gone from 85 to 80 and then next year go from 85 to 75. I'd rather the NCAA pile on 10 more later, like spread that out a little bit. I mean, we talked about how like the team has to have success so that you can get recruits and so you can get boosters to kind of get back on board here. And so if you gut the program all at once and then you can't catch up in the next 2 to 3 years because of it, like, you're screwed. Like, spread that out a little bit, and let's beat all the teams that aren't A&M, Alabama, and Georgia.
Okay. Hypothetically, though, if you're Danny White, doesn't that give you and the coach you've hired a little more leeway? Like, instead of getting maybe 3 years, now it's like, well, I mean, you definitely got to give him four. Those first 2 years.
But that's the deal at Tennessee. It does with Plowman. It does internally. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can come out and just expose all this stuff to be a valid excuse. Maybe you can. Maybe once the NCAA actually comes out with some type of findings, you can then say, well, and we did this to ourselves so this punishment wouldn't be as bad. This is why we just lost to Missouri at home. I don't know. Like,
I mean, eventually you're going to get the detailed report. You're going to get the text messages. You're going to get the burner phones. Eventually you'll get that stuff, kind of like with the Curry FOA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to get it, and then after that, you know, we'll have to read through it and sift and think, okay, does what Tennessee did now make more sense, or was it even dumber,
right,
based on what we know and what the potential punishments could have been?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they have imposed too much. I don't know, but maybe they haven't. Maybe the NCAA comes out and says, nope, not good enough, 2-year bowl ban, which I think that adds 2 more years to Heupel's contract. Every year of a bowl ban, he gets another year. Mm. But I don't know. I think that obviously has a big part to play in all this, the NIL stuff. And that the reason you can kind of see that the NIL stuff matters more is, I mean, Rick Barnes, right? I mean, what, do you have 3-4 really amazing recruiting classes in a row? And I'm not saying this one won't be fine, but right now you've got one guy in the next class.
Mm-hmm.
You have not done well in the transfer market as far as guys you really wanted, like a Walker Kessler.
Yep.
It just feels like, well, what's the common denominator? It's like, well, we're not really competing that well with NIL stuff. I mean, I love the idea of local businesses partnering with players, but those should be, extra from the big ones that mm-hmm. they're getting from, you know, companies that can really stroke a check. But I also, you know, I'm sitting here saying all the donors that, like, I don't necessarily blame them. If they've given all this money over the years and just felt like they've been kicked in the crotch over and over again, yeah, I don't blame them at all for saying, hey, you know, you got to kind of earn it first. And that goes back to all the turnover, new faces, new ideas, and people wondering what the direction of the athletic department is.
Right.
I mean, Dave, you mentioned it earlier. We're 1 year into Danny White's, you know, stint as athletic director at the University of Tennessee. Outside of the original comment, text a buddy, I think he's done a pretty good job given what he's had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's stadium renovation. Some people like it, some people don't, but it's a big project. He's going to get Lindsey Nelson ready to go. That's good. Lockdown Vitello with the big deal when all those other schools were circling and calling on your baseball coach who's having unparalleled success. Like, he's done some really good. Heupel, I think, was better than 90% of people would have expected. Lady Vols right now, I mean, I don't know how much credit he gets for that, but Kelly Jolly Harper, hey, that's top 10 team right now. Swimming and diving, good. Golf, good. Tennis, mm-hmm. good. I mean, you've got a lot of momentum. Now we just got to figure out how to clear out the NCAA stuff and catch up to the rest of the big boys in college athletics when it comes to NIL deals.
Yeah, well said. I mean, that's where we're at, and they just we'll see how we'll get more information as we come, but it'll kind of be retroactive, and it's going to be what'll be fascinating is probably 90% of the fan base is not going to have any idea about a lot of this stuff. So the way the wins and losses play out in next football season, and even the one after that, is going to be kind of fascinating, because you have the super casuals that just watch the game, and if you get beat, they'll come up with whatever reason they want to say, oh, we're just too tired, our roster's too thin, or whatever, you know, and then it'll filter all the way down on so many different levels. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes, and you'll get next year's recruiting class, see how that shakes out, and what type of deals, and we'll see what type of deals the players get this year. I mean, Hendon Hooker, like, are NIL deals only going to be for, like, getting guys? Or do you, like, does Hendon Hooker get rewarded with having a really good first year and, like, going into second year because he's going to be the face of the team this year?
Doesn't that even feel safer than paying a five? I mean, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
Except if you're looking at it from a recruiting standpoint, if I'm a big booster and I'm only about, like, getting the next, like, Hooker's already here. Why would I pay him? I'm gonna get the next guy, so we could be good.
Oh no, I totally get that and agree.
To that point, you just have to wait until somebody does like Tyler Barron did, and they actually poach him away.
Yeah, wait till they threaten to leave, and then it's like, ah, man, we thought we could keep that guy, but yeah. here's a deal to keep you happy.
Uh-huh. That's a good point. Good point, Dave. We'll come back with more. Hour 2 continues. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com and make your appointment. Go see Drs. Malone and Costa. They got your all your dental needs taken care of right here in West Knoxville. Cedar Bluff area. Easy to get to. Longtime sponsors of Fan Run Radio. Tell them you heard about them right here. It's Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. What'd you say about Spire? Think you need to bring that to the show?
Added another tier. The Minister of Defense tier. So just a little cheaper each month. Something a little bit more affordable.
Okay. So this is the common man's tier. $19 a month.
$19.51 a month. You get a membership card, membership directory, a sticker, a hat, and a monthly newsletter.
Cool.
Davey has signed up. Like, I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, I'm not going to be negative about it.
It's a good idea in theory. I think a lot of people are going to be skeptical, though, because if I sign up for that, yeah, you get the member directory. But if I get the member directory and there's 20 people in it, it's like, wait, what? 20 people paying $20 a month? That's not going to get us anything.
It's weird. Whenever you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, it's
a good idea. I just don't know.
The one thing I don't like, the member directory thing. I get the purpose behind it, but it could be one of those things, though, if it doesn't take off and it's just like, there's not people doing this, it's like, why would I continue to contribute?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you sign up for it, you get the member directory, they tell you, hey, you know, you're one of 37 people that have signed up, and then 2 months later, it's like 39. It's like, okay, is this really going to move the needle enough?
Yeah. I mean, and for a lot of people, it's wait and see, because these things take time to grow.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Again, I think it's a good idea, but it's going to need like a shot in the arm and, you know, some real pub.
And the guys at Spire, I've met them before. They've seemed very intelligent.
Oh, no, I'm not knocking. I know that they're doing anything and everything that they can. I'm sure they're working very hard, and they got some deals for guys, and that's great. It's not so much about them as it is the people that they're talking to being convinced. And I think that's where you do need some leadership from the university. I mean, it's a partnership, but you know,
it's hard. I mean, there's no simple answer to any of these questions, and it goes back to what you guys have primarily been talking about for the entire show. I look at it, I go back to my time as a kid and even throughout college and just my love for the university, and especially the football team, and just wanting them to be successful. But you do get to a point to where you get beaten down, mm-hmm. and like I'm as cynical as I've ever been whenever it comes to Tennessee football. I think Josh Heupel did a really good job in first year whenever you take a step back and look at it from the 10,000-foot view. But it goes into – it's like, all right, well, we've got some momentum moving forward, but now we look at it, and while it's not 100% confirmed, we're very certain that the stipulations that we have put on ourselves mm-hmm. whenever it comes to being able to fill out the normal roster size for a college football program, you look at it and you're like, I don't know how you're going to be able to compete at the same level as all these other schools, especially in your conference. And then we look at it, we know, it's not been said today, but we know Texas and Oklahoma are coming into the mm-hmm. SEC. And while I think, you know, Oklahoma, they just lost their coach. They've kind of got a few things they need to get straightened out whenever it comes to getting that transition here. And in Texas, I mean, they've been down forever. It's weird. It's like Texas.
Yeah, but it's never been like, a money problem with Texas.
So, I mean,
and now that money really matters in recruiting legally. Yeah, like Texas is going to get their dude.
So it's like Tennessee. We won our last natty in 98 and still had a lot of good things going throughout the early 2000s. But then Texas, they ended up winning their championship in 2005. So it's like, well, if they're 7 years behind us, so look back. It's 2022. Look at where we thought we were in, we'll go 2014, where you're like in year two of Butch. That's kind of like where they're going. It's like, do you see the climb happening? And I mean, their fans are still bought in, but if they continue to have another 7 years of what we've kind of experienced mm-hmm. over the last seven, yeah. I mean, they might eventually get to that point.
No, that's a good point. They're not as jaded. Even, I mean, they've had bad years, but they've also still been willing to throw any and every dollar amount at coaches and facilities and all that. I mean, it's Texas, not hurting for money. I don't know.
They're still number one in valuation, right?
I actually had this pulled up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Texas is?
Yeah.
This was as of... It doesn't date their articles. Come on.
I mean...
This was August 4th of this year. Tennessee comes in at 10th nationally. LSU, Auburn, Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame at 5, Michigan 4, Alabama 3, Ohio State 2, Texas 1. And look, there's nothing they can do to just snap their fingers and all of a sudden they've got it all figured out. My question is, can we continue to figure it out while improving on the field, getting out of the NCAA stuff to where in – I know Philly said it's not going to get fixed in 3 or 4 years. I think that's probably the soonest it could get fixed, and I think that's possible. I don't think that's, you know, out of the realm of possibilities that in 3 or 4 years you're right there competing for the East, but to do it, you've got to make sure you're not handcuffing yourself like we are right now with the scholarship stuff. We got to catch up on NIL, and you've got to continue to show at least progress on the field. You do those things, I think you've got a shot. But I can't tell if I'm hopeful that it's trending in the right direction and we're going to figure it out, or if it may get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I don't know if the going public with the Spire Sports, like here's how you give money, is the way to go, because I mean, it goes back to what David, like you're just throwing money into the abyss of
exactly. yeah.
players.
Right.
When I go to an oil tycoon and I say, hey, I need $1 million over the next 3 years for Walter Nolan. If he leaves after, if he sucks and blows it, mm-hmm. then we'll redistribute what's left to someone else. But like, yeah. that's how much it's going to cost to have this kid for 3 years. You know, are you good for it? Then you know what you're buying.
Yeah.
This
I agree.
This is almost like the difference. This is almost like those clothing boxes, you know? Like
the monthly subscription
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. Like, would you rather go to the store with your dollars, pick out and try on exactly the clothes you want, and then lay the $200 down at the table? Or would you rather pay you know, $100 a box for two boxes, and
maybe it's worth more than that. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something you'll wear. Maybe it's not.
And when they show up, yeah, you can try them on. If you hate them, you can send them back. But then they got, then there's going to be a delay, and they got to send you a new one.
Right.
And then, like, some people do prefer the second option.
The mystery.
But a lot of people want to know what they're, yeah, what they're buying. And, yeah, I would say that's still, whether you, I mean, even if you order something online, people still want to pick out exactly what's coming.
Exactly.
I would say that's still the majority of people.
I would agree.
I actually think the subscription model works well at low level amounts, right? Like, I think a Tennessee fan saying, yeah, you know, $19 a month is about what I can give. You know, I can't give any more than that anyway.
Yeah, and like, that's really great if thousands of people sign up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that gets you over the hump with the top four or five teams in the SEC. Mm-mm. I don't think that's enough money. Like,
no.
You've got to get the big deals so that you can get, you know, what's A&M? Six five-star guys in the class? I mean, like...
Is it more than that now?
You know, you need to get like three of those dudes a year and then get a bunch of four stars. I don't know. It's kind of completely fascinating.
Oh, they're up to 7 5 stars.
Jeez Louise. It's a game inside the game now.
Yeah.
You know?
And recruiting always has been.
It always was, yeah.
But now when it's legal to throw down a dollar amount.
Right.
You know. And you don't have to worry about him telling somebody else and you getting in trouble for it, right? Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to be as careful. You can just throw money at anything and get the guys you want. And, you know, Brian said it on Twitter and Davey said it earlier, and I completely agree. Like, Nayor from Texas, well, you know, if we had a pretty good offer for him and Texas matched or made it better and then said, well, that I was going to go to Tennessee and I was getting this. You guys are giving me that a little bit more. Yeah, you know, I'm done with the process. I'm going to go to, like, I get that. That's going to happen. But we need to win some of those too.
Right.
Right. And I realize that I don't think we've been negative. We've just kind of been realistic. But I'm not doom and gloom. I'm not saying you can't fix it. I'm not saying we're toast. But you've got to, you know, you got to continue to evolve, adapt, and figure out your kind of special sauce when it mm-hmm. comes to NIL. How can you separate yourself, set yourself apart to give kids, you know, second thoughts when other schools do that? You know, how can you make Tennessee stand out even more? And maybe it's not just flat out dollars and cents. Maybe it is. I don't know. Seems like for A&M, that's exactly what it is.
Yep. Tennessee, I don't know. Got to get on the front foot here. Final segment of hour two. So stay on Tennessee football and recruiting for one more segment, then shift gears for hour three. Obviously, got a huge basketball game tomorrow and a huge NFL playoff weekend coming up with the divisional round. So that's all good stuff, fun stuff to talk about. Did we ever talk about Tennessee's new hire, though, in the football office? The guy from North Carolina?
Mm-mm. We did not.
Oh, the high kid? Because he's,
sorry?
Last name is High. Am I right?
Yep.
Well, fill us in.
His brother already on staff.
Hmm.
Well, remember how when, you know, Mack Brown went to North Carolina, everybody's like, oh, this will never work. And then actually not only got pretty good pretty quick, but they recruited pretty well. Also,
yeah, they had a disappointing year this last year for sure.
Well, I'm hoping that part of that success was Billy High. Been at North Carolina the last 3 years. North Carolina, he was the assistant athletic director and general manager.
Okay.
And Ryan Callahan reported
GM, huh?
24/7 Sports. He was going to have a similar role here.
Who is that guy at LSU that was going to come here but wanted to be called the general manager?
I always forget his name.
Was that what, under Pruitt? And Pruitt apparently didn't like the fact that he wanted to be called the general manager, so he went to...
I think it was more an issue with Fulmer than it was Pruitt.
It may have been.
Yeah, I think you...
It might have been the salary he was demanding.
Oh, what was that guy's name?
I can't remember. I think he was from Tennessee. Was that LSU?
I feel like he left there.
No, he did.
Well, no, I thought he never like really got a job, and like after something happened to where he just like didn't find work afterwards. There was a weird situation there. It was Austin Thomas.
Austin Thomas, yep.
At North Carolina, High was in charge of overseeing recruiting evaluations and operations, on-campus recruiting, and all other recruiting activities. Tar Heels had their 2022 class was eighth when this article was written, a couple weeks ago, maybe, or a week ago. They were eighth.
North Carolina's was?
Yeah, and it was the best class in the ACC.
Real quickly for Thomas, so he was at LSU from 2013 to 2017, and then he returned this last season, but now it looks as though Brian Kelly will not be keeping him on. So.
Interesting.
High was a recruiting intern at Tennessee starting in 2009.
Okay.
He received a bachelor's in math from UT in 2012 and a master's degree in teacher education in 2015.
He's right up your alley.
Yeah. He was an assistant coach at CAK for 4 years after graduating from UT. He was High also held a recruiting staffing role at Auburn in 2017 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie High is Billy's brother. He's the director of offensive scouting on Heupel's UT staff.
Mm-hmm. The more the merrier for the recruiting staff. Have the biggest extended staff for that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then make them do NIL work, please.
Yeah. That article I was referencing was only 5 days old, so that's where North Carolina kind of sits in recruiting right now. They've been good.
They're ninth now, yeah.
Yeah, they've been good. So that's a good ad. Good ad for Tennessee. For Heupel, and I mean that.
Did he go to CAK as well? Pretty sure that's where his brother went.
His brother did, yeah. I don't know if he did. I would imagine. I don't know how much age difference there is between the two.
Yeah. I've worried that, you know, Heupel's just not as kind of cool as some of the other coaches that he has recruited against. But you can kind of overcome that with A, proving your offense works really well, which I think he took a huge first step.
Yeah, I think he did that.
And being Well, it comes in different ways, right? Like Nick Saban walks in with the national championship rings all over his
hands. No, yeah, that's obviously says, very, very different. Like Jimbo Fisher, cool, or is that just NIL money? Kirby Smart, cool, or cheating and recruiting? Steve Sarkisian, cool, or they got a bunch of money? I mean, I think
Sark. It's a personal opinion thing. Based on what some of the recruits have said about Sark, he seems like a pretty cool guy. They say he's real chill, laid back, like kind of they feel like they can hang out with him. Some of the other guys, like Kirby, strikes me as he would remind them of their high school football coach. You know, it's kind of like just a nice, smooth transition. Okay, this guy's just kind of good country Georgia guy who's going to
hard worker,
pushing me to be
yeah.
good and yada, yada. Jimbo, you know, talks fast, does have the one natty. He's got all that support, we'll call it, from Texas A&M.
Well said.
Dollars and cents and, you know, that jazz. But like Lane Kiffin. You know, he understands how to at least try to come across as a player's coach. I mean, mm-hmm. he's kind of the younger Pete Carroll type, right? Like, I mean, like, hey, it's come to Ole Miss. It's fun. Like, come to the SIP. Like, come on.
Yeah.
This is cool.
I tweet a lot.
So it comes in different ways, you know? I don't mean, like, just a cool dude to hang out with necessarily. I mean, there's just... So,
well, and he has a great Kiffin has a great offense too.
Right. So I think Heupel needs to kind of tap into that, like, hey, I'm the mad scientist genius offensive guru. Yeah, I'm a little dorky, but man, you will light people up
right.
if you come here. And a way you can kind of overcome some of the maybe lack of charisma from the head man is to have like supreme organization and coverage at every angle. That's something that Butch Jones was notorious about. Butch Jones had interns stalking kids on social media. So when they're like, "Man, love these Skittles," you know, when they came on their visit, they'd have a massive pile of Skittles in their room and be like, "Man, these folks actually care about me." You know,
they paid attention
to detail. So I think any of that can help you kind of put together a recruiting, you know, situation that's very favorable. And you kind of need that when obviously you're not, you know, I mean, you're having to go up against the best teams in the freaking country and you're behind the eight ball a little bit. So it's good. It's great.
I don't think he comes off as a, you know, dork. Players seem to really like him. But I get like,
I mean, I almost mean that in a good way with Heupel.
Yeah. But you got to have, for people who might see him, talk to him, or see him on TV and kind of be like, I don't know, you got to have the, like you said, you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You got to have all your stuff in order as you kind of, you know, demonstrate to a potential recruit what we have to offer here, you're going
to
do.
I'd love to hear Heupel do like a talk with like coaches or something. I started watching a Hugh Freeze video and like 45 minutes later,
yeah,
I'm just like, this guy, like all this makes perfect sense. This is genius. I mean, he's just talking offense.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that Heupel would be, you know, pretty good, maybe really good at that. But I mean, Hugh Freeze, if he didn't have all his issues, he'd be like a college football pastor. I mean, he just like sucks you in. And you know, it's Heupel can use these staffers to kind of help that be the persona of Tennessee.